If you would, take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I think I mentioned this before, that so much of what we see and hear going on in the world today promotes fear, discouragement, for a lot of people even despair. But dwelling on the good news, God's Word, brings us peace, comfort, encouragement, and hope. Jesus Christ said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." That's mental pressure, physical or mental. It's pressure. And he said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In Romans 5 it says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And 2 Timothy says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And this morning I want to share and teach on staying the course. That's what I'm calling it. Nothing that happens in this world will ever change the truth of God's Word. God is still who His Word says He is, and His promises are all still true. I wanted to look here in 2 Peter. I think Vince brought something up after the teaching last week about Lot. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is kind of the conclusion of a little section about God's deliverance. The Lord, verse 9, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." And so, as you know, God did deliver Lot. God is a God of deliverance despite circumstances. Well, let's back up to verse 7. It says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Vexed. Lot was vexed. He was mentally fatigued, totally worn out by what he saw and heard day after day after day. And that's with no TV news. You know, Lot didn't get home and turn the news on and go, "Oh, gosh, look at this. Let me get my phone out and check my Twitter. Let me check my this. Let me..." With none of that, in what he saw and heard day after day, he was totally worn out. We're going to read verses 7 through 9, but I want to point out that the word "vexed" in verses 7 and 8 are two different Greek words. "Vexed" in verse 7 means to wear down by hard labor, or it can mean to be worn down by treatment or oppression. And the word "vexed" in verse 8, it's a word that's used to test metals like a touchstone, or can mean to harass, torture with words, or torment. So I want to read verses 7 through 9 from Reverend Cummins, the Working Translation. "And if..." The context really is in the essence of, if God did this, "and if he delivered the just man Lot," which we know he did, "and if he delivered the just man Lot, who was worn down by the manner of life of the lawless with unbridled lust, for by what he saw and what he heard while he lived among them, that just man was torturing his just soul with their lawless works day after day. Well, if he delivered Lot, then," we're in verse 9, "then the Lord does know how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and how to preserve the unjust for punishment in the day of judgment." Oh, there is a day of judgment coming. Don't worry about it. There's a day of judgment coming. And Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, is in charge of that judgment. So there is a day coming. But I think you remember the record with Lot, that God sent two angels to take care of Lot, get him out of Sodom before it was wiped out. Go to Genesis chapter 19. We're not going to read the whole record, but I'm just trying to show you from what God's Word tells us the state of mind that Lot was in because of everything he saw and heard. And so we're in Genesis 19, and the two angels came to deliver Lot, and then, you know, the bad guys in the town were all over the place and wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. They pressed upon the man in verse 9 and came to break the door down. Verse 10, but the men, that's the two angels, were in 19:10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door, all these bad guys, with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Must have been pretty awesome to see something like that happen. And the men, these angels, said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. We all need to leave. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. This is some pretty big news for somebody that just came into your house, right? Hey, the place is going to get wiped out. Let's get everybody out of here. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Didn't have much credibility with him, right? So Lot has two daughters, two sons-in-laws, but the sons-in-laws are like, whatever, Lot. Will you leave us alone? You're interrupting my game. But it's interesting, verse 15, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, come on, saying, arise, get your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. We need to leave now. And look at verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. It's like Lot lingered. Should I take my razor? I don't know. How many pairs of socks should I bring? The point I'm trying to make is Lot's mind was fried. He was vexed. He was totally worn down. And here are two angels. He just saw this fantastic miracle the night before. And the angels said, we've got to get out of here. And he lingered. To the point where the angel said, all right, give me your hand. Give me your hand. So one angel apparently had Lot and his wife. The other angel, give me the daughters. Let's go. We need to get out of here. And so I'm just trying to show you where Lot's mind was at. And then, anyway, you can keep reading. Angel takes him out. And then Lot doesn't want to go to the mountain. No, I better stay here. Oh, let me go to this city. Let's read the next verse. It came to pass, verse 17, when they brought them forth abroad, that he said, the angel said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. An angel of God telling you that. And Lot said, oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. You just saved my life. I can't escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. Do you see the fear in the man? He just should have been, yes, thank you. Yes, Lord, that's where I'm going. So he wanted to go to a city. And if you keep reading, when he's like, oh, well, maybe the city isn't the best place. Maybe I should have gone to the mountain. Anyway, back to 2 Peter. We get a little bit of an idea of where his mental state was. Back to chapter 2, 2 Peter. Verse 7. And again, this is from the Working Translation. And if he delivered the just man Lot, who was worn down by the manner of life of the lawless with unbridled lust, for by what he saw and what he heard while he lived among them, that just man was torturing his just soul with their lawless works day after day, then the Lord does know how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and how to preserve the unjust for punishment in the day of judgment. And so two things to notice. Because of what Lot was seeing and hearing day after day after day, it wore him out mentally. What about us?
Oh, yeah.
Are we immune to being worn out? No, not at all. And then secondly, our God is a God of deliverance. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read this section again from the Working Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Reverend Cummins notes this word comfort, which comes up in verse 3, the God of all comfort. And this word comfort comes up a number of times in this passage, in both the verb and the noun form. The word has, I'm reading from his note here, the word has the basic meaning to call or summon to one side. It was sometimes used with the sense to beseech or entreat, to exhort or admonish someone, or with the sense to encourage, to comfort, or to console someone. And he translates it as encourage. And I think that's really a beautiful way to translate it. So let's start in verse 3. I'm reading from the Working Translation. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all encouragement, who encourages us in all our affliction. And that affliction is the mental pressure from either physical or mental. It's still pressure. Who encourages us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction by means of the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God. Even as the sufferings for Christ abound in us, so our encouragement also abounds by Christ. If we're afflicted, it's for your encouragement and salvation. Or if we are encouraged, it's for your encouragement, which is energized by patience with regard to the same sufferings that we also suffer. Likewise, our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that as you are fellow participants of the sufferings, so you are fellow participants of the encouragement. Verse 8. In fact, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning our affliction that occurred in Asia, that we were exceedingly weighed down, overpowered, so that we despaired even of living. Moreover, we ourselves had the sentence of death in ourselves, with the result that we could not have confidence in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us out of such a great death, and he will deliver. In him we have set our hope that he will still deliver. As you also, verse 11, join in helping by your prayer requests for us, so that thanks may be given by many persons for the gift of grace given to us through many prayer requests for us. God delivers and prayer helps. That's why we pray for each other. But what a great God of deliverance. And as you know, that God's word shows his great deliverance in many places in the word of God. So we can trust him. Now, when we have personal challenges, we can trust him. When the world seems to be going crazy, we can trust him. How do we do that? Where do we put our focus? We remember what his words say. And what a great place there in 2 Corinthians. Yes, God will encourage us. He's the God of all encouragement, who encourages us so that we are able then to encourage others by the encouragement he gave to us. But whether we're going through personal stuff or stuff in the world, we have to keep in mind what our Father said. Our Father has given us words to believe, like Ephesians chapter 6. Familiar, but again, God's words. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, that's my job, that's not God's job. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God defines it for us where it all comes from. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stay the course. We're not going to budge from God's word, from what we know that God said. We're not budging, period. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Words from our Father. And those are good words, right? So we're not tricked. We're not deceived. Where does it come from? It's all coming from the adversary. So we could, you know, sit around and think, oh, gosh, the devil's doing this. No, God said, you know where it's coming from. Here's what you do. Put on the armor and stand and don't budge. 1 Peter chapter 5. Stay the course. In the good times and in the turbulent times, we still stay the course. This wonderful section here in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him. All your care. That word care means that which mentally distracts you, stresses you, wigs you out, whatever communicates. All your care upon him, for he cares for you. That word care means having great concern. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. And, you know, that's more than just, you know, not being drunk. And that's a part of it. But sober means think whole thoughts, right thoughts. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it says, verse 9, whom resist? How? Steadfast in the right way of believing. That's how we resist. We stay put. We stay the course. We don't budge. Whom resists steadfast in the right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, sometimes I'm the only one ever goes through this. Knowing that the same afflictions, the mental pressures, the crap, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But he just told us, be sober, be vigilant. But the God, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So in the good times or in the turbulent times, we stay the course. We don't budge. We know where it's all coming from. We're steadfast. We're sober, vigilant, steadfast in the right way of believing. Words from our Father, so that we're not just, and we don't turn out like Lot. I don't know what to do. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, meaning some of the stuff that Peter shares in this epistle. He's reminding them that Paul, in his epistles, shared this stuff, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Meaning the people that were having a hard time with what Paul was teaching and preaching, have a hard time with the rest of the Bible too. You therefore, beloved, 17, seeing you know these things before, beware, be sharp, stay the course. Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Don't get weighed down, distracted, mentally worn out. Stay the course. How? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? By putting God's word into our hearts and minds. And specifically, as Peter's talking about, the epistles Paul wrote, the seven church epistles. That's our daily food. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. So God, in a number of places in his word, reminds us that he has given us words. God's word gives us peace, comfort, encouragement, and hope. You won't find that in the news. Watch 5 minutes of news and go, wow, I'm really peaceful now. I'm so encouraged and I have a lot of hope. Won't happen. But, you know, we're not helpless people and we're not hopeless people either. Whatever we're faced with in our personal lives, God is still a powerful, delivering God. And with, you know, all the foolishness that we see and hear going on in our world, we have to remind ourselves, it's not about politics. It's not about color of skin. It's not about gender. It's not about all these things. It's a spiritual fight, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So whether it's go to 2 Timothy 4. That's where we're going to close. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, sometimes you hear stuff, hear this and hear that, and you have to just like shut everything down and open the book. Get some sanity back. But, you know, whether it's good times or turbulent times, and just a little sidebar on that, if a person is not consistent with the basics in the good times, when the turbulent times come, you know, and the boat is rocking, it's much harder to get your footing if you haven't been consistent in the basics. And sometimes it can, well, we saw what happened a lot. So whether it's good times or turbulent times, we stay consistent with the basics, right? We stay the course. We do what we know to do from God's word. We continue to pray, right? Isn't that what our Father said to do? Pray. So we pray. We pray lots. And sometimes we pray more. We do our best to believe and trust God for all the things that we need in our personal lives. We continue to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. You know, we sang that song earlier, I Come to the Garden. Some days we're just camped out in the garden, you know. But that's what our Father said to do, pray. We do our best to love all people, but we know our Father said, be especially good to the believers. Especially good to the believers. So we love everybody and we're especially good to the believers. And we look for open doors to share God's wonderful word for those that want to know. And we listen to our God, who he said is at work within us to will and do of his good pleasure. So that's staying the course. And at the end of his life, Paul wrote in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He stayed the course. He did not budge. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearance. And that's, you know, our goal, or ought to be our goal as a born-again believer. Stay the course. Fight the good fight, not every fight. Fight the good fight, finish our course, and keep the faith, the right way of believing. We don't budge. We don't budge. This is what God's word says, period. And if where we started out this morning. If God delivered just Lot, what grace and mercy. You know, and that's all because of Abraham, who interceded and said, you know, if there's 50 righteous people, okay, what about 40? What, you know, all the way down to 10. And because Lot was, as God called him, a righteous person. And even though he was a righteous person, he was just messed up by everything he saw and heard. And if God could deliver just Lot, he can certainly deliver us. So we put our trust in God, we fight the good fight, we keep the faith, and we stay the course. So Father, thank you for your wonderful words of encouragement to us in the days that we live. And Father, that whatever we're going through personally, or whatever we see going on in our crazy world, we can put our confidence and trust in you. We don't have to be confused about why it's happening. We know. And Father, we can do what you encouraged us to do, just to stay the course and to keep our hearts steadfast on you. Thank you for giving us words that we could read, understand, and believe. And I pray, Father, for everyone here this morning in this room and for all those that are on the phone hookup. I pray and ask you, God, to help us this coming week to trust you and look to you. And Father, to have great love in our hearts for everyone we meet, that we can be especially good to the believers, and that, Father, we could have an open door to speak your wonderful word to others. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So any comments, any insight? Yes, Dan.
Well, when you read that, the good fight, I thought about like a military strategist, like Napoleon or somebody. They would fight the fight they chose, and they would try to get the right conditions, get the enemy in a certain position, and everything is set up, and they would fight that. They didn't allow themselves to be baited into some fight that wasn't the best fight for them. And we could easily be baited into fighting for some cause or putting our efforts into standing up for something that's lesser important than the word. Wasting our time on that, we would better put our efforts into standing for the word.
Okay. It talks about that in Timothy. The servant of the Lord must not strive, get into word battles.
Kind of like that verse, I think we looked at it last week. Since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, not on the earth. Pray your name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the crown of righteousness that we'll be receiving. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot about the queen lately, and she has this beautiful, gorgeous, bejeweled crown that she wears. But whatever we're going to be getting, you know, whatever that's going to look like or be, is going to so much outweigh that, you know, in every aspect. It's so much more in a spiritual sense than this physical crown that she wears. And far more valuable to every believer when they receive it.
Hmm. You know, a lot of stuff going on in our world too. It can sometimes hinder people from speaking God's word. Like nobody wants to hear it. Everybody's gone pagan. No one else wants to hear God's word. We're the last of the Mohicans here. But not true.
No.
Not true. We can't be afraid to speak God's word to people. But sometimes the most unlikely people will believe God's word. And I know that for a truth because I know what it says in Acts about Simon the sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
Who bewitched an entire city doing devilish stuff. Wasn't just a crabby old guy. This guy was operating some pretty devilish stuff, and yet he got born again. Took him a while to clean up his mind, I guess, but we don't know what all happened after that. But sometimes the most unlikely people will believe God's word, and a lot of stuff going on in our world sometimes makes us cause us to go out, well, nobody wants to hear God's word. Everybody's just gone crazy. And we speak God's word. Remember that? What was that song that they, "Don't Stop, Never Stop Speaking God's Word"? Don't stop, never stop.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't throw our pearls before swine, but we look for open doors to speak God's word. And if there's hunger, guess what? We got a message for people. A message of peace, comfort, encouragement, and hope. And boy, there's a lot of people lacking that. Aren't we privileged to know what we know?